Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio, thank God for the Holy Spirit. You know, believe it or not, in fact, I think I sent in my show notes that I said to Little Lizzie, I said, you know what, here's what the order of operations is supposed to be. These are the guests. I said, I got a sneaky suspicion that the one and only Sam Dixon is not going to be able to make it. And lo and behold, 35, 40 minutes before the program, Sam Dixon called and said he couldn't make it. Well, I had this other suspicion. I said, well, in fact, Lizzie can vouch for this. I said, you know what? We don't know if Michael Tubbs is going to be on. That's the way live radio is. You never know what in the hell is going to happen. I mean, they could drop a nuke on the studio any second. Well, lo and behold, I predicted it. Maybe I should go into the stock market, Mark. But anyway, unless we can get Michael Tubbs, the theme of the third hour. Well, pretty much the theme of the first hour, I tried to do it. You know, I got us off track several times, but it was going to be, we started talking about the first hour with the one and only Alfred Schaefer about the meat grinder that's going on in the Ukraine, in Russia. And matter of fact, I told Alfred during the break, I said, you know, I wonder about this Wagner group. Are they feeding us a bunch of crap? Is it really happening with AI, artificial intelligence? You never know if you're being told the truth because, you know, they can imagine that. Here's what, in fact, Sam, this is kind of a rabbit trail, but I got to get this out of the way. Sam was telling us about, God, before I even had Blood River, I was still with this political cesspool. He was saying, they're talking about Sam Bushman, he owns Liberty News Radio. He syndicates our program. He said, they can make, with artificial intelligence, they had these bots, he called them. It was the first time I heard the word bot. I've already heard robots. They can make a video of, say, me or Mark Tommy or Liz, and they're showing you robbing a liquor store, showing you do anything. It'll be so real, you can't tell the difference. Well, we talked about that Wagner group in Russia, and we talked about basically the war, the so-called war in Russia is being run. It's the Jew war. This is kind of a recap. A Jew world order that control. They run the whole damn world now, except I think they probably don't run China. They got Japan. They've got Japan, and they've got Germany, and they're trying to conquer Russia, which is the last country on earth. It's what I would call a Christian nation. The United States is not, like Mark Tommy said so eloquently, the United States is not a country, and it's really not a nation. But Russia, it has a similar, they have a common land area, a common religion, a common genetic people with the same DNA, and they are white. There are beautiful people, and there are Christians. That's why the Jew world order is trying to destroy them. Well, our theme for the first hour was, it's not quite working out like we put it on paper, but the theme for the first hour was, how do we stop this war that the Jews, their sons of their father, the devil, we have to thwart them with their intention of destroying all of Russia, and they really want to destroy every white Christian person on the face of the earth. So I said, how do we stop them? We've got to stop the war. The theme for the third hour, which was Michael Tubbs is going to play an integral part, but maybe we can get him in a few minutes, was going to be, okay, so we couldn't stop the war. What do we do to survive the nuclear radiation, all this kind of crap? Because Michael Tubbs, he was Green Beret, United States Army Special Forces. I think he might even been connected to Delta Force. I don't know. He was in the Gulag, the federal prisons, but he is an expert taught in the best schools of U.S. Army Special Forces on how to deal with a radiation fallout. I had some of that when I was drafted, but not near to the extent that Michael Tubbs had. I was just a medic, combat medic, but he went through all that crap. But since Michael Tubbs isn't there, we're going to do the best we can, me, and thank God. See, hang on. Can y'all hear this? I'm patting myself on the back, Mark, because I got you in here. I thought Mike Tubbs ain't going to show up. Way to go, Bombardier. I got a stud on here right now, but Mark, by the name of Mark Tommy, very eloquent. So before, if we can, whether we can get a hold of the tubs or not, we're going to cover. Where would you like to take off right now? Because you really killed it, and we kind of ran out of time, some of the stuff you were talking about on the second hour, Mark. Was you any particular thing you'd like to take off on right now?
Well, if I could just finish the thought I was trying to express right when the break caught us there about reconstituting our state militias.
Please do.
You know, this is another thing that we've been operating under a lie for a long time. The average person, if you ask them, what's the state militia, they'll say the National Guard. And that's not true. When I lived in Louisiana, a couple of best friends were full-time Louisiana National Guardsmen. And I asked them point blank one time. I said, well, look, you know, I said, who really runs y'all? Does the state of Louisiana own the Louisiana National Guard? And to make my point a little bit more forceful, I said, so when you get paid, does your check come from Baton Rouge or does it come from the federal government?
Bingo.
And they both looked at me square in the face without batting an eye and said, we are part of the United States Army.
That's true.
We get paid by the federal government. We are simply on loan to the state of Louisiana until such time as the feds want us for something. And thus, that's why you get the National Guard being quote unquote federalized all the time. Whether it's for a hurricane disaster or to be sent overseas to kill people and break things on behalf of the Yankee Empire. So the National Guard is not your state militia. You know, as Orville Faubus and George C. Wallace found out the hard way in the late 50s and early 60s, the federal government will federalize your Alabama National Guard, and now they're not your helper, they're your enemy. And so same thing happened in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. They had National Guard units going door to door, busting in people's doors and taking their weapons away from them. So these people, this is not your state militia. What we need to go back to is the original concept of the state of Alabama, the state of Tennessee, et cetera, has its own army that is strictly under the control of the governor and the legislature of the state. And then that way, you could have a situation like we had in the 1820s when South Carolina nullified the Tariff of Abominations. And Andrew Jackson said, well, I'll send the army to South Carolina to collect the tariff. And Governor Pickens said, well, you know, the state militia will meet you at the state line. Come get some.
And all right.
That was enough. And, of course, I'm paraphrasing. You know, they were much more eloquent and diplomatic about it. But that's basically what it was that, well, if you think you can, come on, because we'll meet you at the border and we'll shoot you. And so that forced a political resolution to the problem. Well, we can't do that now, because we don't have state militias that are strictly under the control of the governor anymore. The feds have assumed an illegal power to be able to come into the borders of any sovereign state and enforce their will at the point of a bayonet.
True.
And we have got to start reestablish the mechanism by which we can resist those tyrannical actions by the federal government. And so, you know, I think Florida, if I understand correctly, I seem like I read an article not too long ago. Governor DeSantis has introduced, you know, wants them to put legislation in place to reconstitute the Florida militia. And so I hope that catches on in lots of other places. Because, you know, as I said right before we got cut off, you got to be able to have some bite behind your bark. It's one thing to say we resist you. It's another thing to be able to physically resist these people when they try to force their illegal and immoral will upon you. And so you have to have the physical means to resist as well. Now, that should also trickle down in the event of a nuclear catastrophe. You know, God forbid, if things go badly and there's an exchange of nuclear weapons, you know, at the local level, we've got to people have got to get to know their neighbors again. They've got to get together and talk about these kind of scenarios, make plans for how they are going to react or respond to them if they do happen. Because you've got to be able to continue to feed yourself, provide water, and then of course you're going to need to protect yourself from what will eventually be roving bands of people who have no idea how to sustain themselves, running around looking for something to eat, you know, or a place to sleep. And so what are you going to do when they come to your neighborhood, you know, or to your area out in the, like where I live here out in this rural area? So, you know, one person can't do it by themselves. It's good, obviously, to have weapons and ammunition and food and water and things like that, and be proficient in using those things. But, you know, I can only stay awake for so many hours a day until I have to have some sleep. So who's going to watch my place in order for me to be able to sleep a little while, you know? And who's going to watch what's going on if there's a group of us that have to be out in the garden, you know, cultivating food or going down to the creek to fetch water? So this has to be a communal effort of people at the local level to formulate a strategy and then be prepared to implement it when it happens.
We got to go to a quick break with that, Mark. Once you're getting your own fire, brother. We got Rand's going to come in here and join us in a minute. Be right back, folks.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, Mark's really knocking that out of the park. Now, we have a caller here. Caller, what's your name now?
My name's Patrick from Texas.
Oh, Patrick, we hadn't heard from you in a long time, but go ahead, ask Mark your question. Go ahead, Patrick. Good to hear from you. You've been gone for over a year, brother.
Yes, sir, Eddie. Mark, the militia, well, it all changed whenever they created the Dick Act. I think it was 1907. I mean, they just make these acts. They just, you know, pull them out of, you know, thin air. And these constables and stuff. Where in the heck they get that from? You know, that's not according to the Constitution. Anyway, the militia used to be bottom up. It used to be controlled from the bottom through the assemblies, and the assemblies is what controlled the whole government. It chose the government initially, and of course now it's all top down, and all that stuff has just kind of gone to the wayside. And then they basically stomped down any opposition when it was Oklahoma City. But are you familiar with that? You know, it's like a top-down and versus the bottom-up control?
Yes, exactly. And I think that's part of what I was hitting on earlier is that, you know, in the original arrangement of things, that's the state militia was controlled exclusively by the state. You know, you had militia units that were in each local area of the state, you know, typically in each county, and they elected their own officers and they got together and they trained and that kind of thing. And when it was necessary to the security of the state, the governor, you know, could call them together as a unit and say, okay, we've got this problem and we need you, you know, I need you fellas to deal with it. And so, yes, the federal government turned all that on its head in the early part of the 20th century when they basically converted our state militias into what people euphemistically now call the National Guard, and they made it part of the regular army. And so that was another way that the federal government took away the ability for the states to resist their encroachments upon power. And it's just another way that the balance of power between the states and their agent, the federal government, has been upset over as time has gone on. And so people have to be educated about these things, which is one of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing on this radio show. And then there's got to be a grassroots movement amongst people to petition their legislatures and their governors to say, we need to go back to this because we're tired of these feds coming in here and pushing us around and telling us what to do with all these things that we don't want. And you've got to have a way to resist that. You know, when the feds send the FBI down here or the Department of Justice down here, you know, the state has got to have something, a force under its own control that they can tell these people, if you come here to make trouble for us about X, you will find yourself being arrested and sitting in a jail here in Alabama to be tried in a court here in Alabama on charges by the state of Alabama. And, you know, then you can start putting a stop to it. But as long as people suffer under the mistaken delusion that the law is whatever the federal government says it is at any one particular point in time, whatever suits them the best, then there can be no effective resistance. There'll be a few people like us who will be, you know, the proverbial voice crying in the wilderness, but the average person out there thinks that whatever the federal government says is the same as sacred scripture and you're not supposed to go against it. And nothing could be further from the truth. You turn yourself into a slave when you do that.
True. You know, in the beginning, I used to be, well, I was a political cesspool. I always carried a copy of the Federalist Papers, my King James Bible, and my 45. Matter of fact, this is a kind of a side. Keith Alexander was one of our co-hosts there. He still is with the political cesspool and James. And I'll say hello to him. I think they're listening to our program now. But Keith Alexander said that he said Miller is the only man he knew that had a holster built into for a 45 built into a King James Bible. But getting off of that, you know, in the original the way this country is set up, if you can go read the Federalist Papers and it lays it out specifically, the country was never ever supposed to have a large standing army. It says that the militia of the several states, and Dr. Edwin Vieira and his excellent volumes, the Harvard University attorney, made volumes, thousands of
pages on how we needed to go back to the constitutional mission of several states. But originally, it was 90% of the military power in the United States of America was supposed to be of the militia. And here's one of the, and I've got to get off of this right quick, like we got another caller. Because, you know, if all the officers with the original militia were appointed locally, say, if Mark is a is an officer in the Alabama militia in whatever county he is in, he's not going to go arrest his mother for carrying a handgun. But they, the United States friggin' Army will. Well, listen, we have another quick caller here. We've got another caller with James, I believe. How you doing, James?
How you doing, Eddie?
Doing pretty good, guy. We've had another call tonight. Hey, I'm gonna turn you over to Mark. Mark's been killing it out. We've had this show. We had to go on the fly. Different hosts. All of our co-hosts are off tonight, et cetera, et cetera. But Mark's been killing it out of the park. Hey, what question you got for Mark, James? By the way, it's good to hear from you again, James. But what question do you have for Mark or me?
Well, a long time ago, I was having a confrontation with my United States representative, and he asked me what was on my mind, and I said it was the way the militia is being portrayed. It was at the time when militia groups were rising up because of assault weapon bans and so on and so forth. And he said, well, I thought the militia is the National Guard. This is a United States representative. His father was. He had the benefits of the finest schools in and around the Beltway when he was being raised, and he thought the National Guard was a militia. So I'm going to read right out of the Constitution, powers of Congress, okay, to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. Not one of those things is anything that happens outside or on the border of the United States. No foreign adventures. But the National Guard is constantly called up to participate in foreign adventures. That proves right there, right out of the Constitution, that the National Guard is a workaround to overcome on the cheap the power of the militia. And thank you so much for your time.
You know something else, James? You're so right. You know, and not only that, the Declaration of the Constitution specifically says, requires the United States Congress to supply the money and the armaments to the state militia. That's one of the duties of the United States of the so-called federal government, which is not supposed to be an almighty power central government, but we were required to provide money and to train and discipline the constitutional militia of the several states. That's true. But anyway, you know, Mark, I think we got the Rands back. And by the way, thank you, caller. Time with you, Patrick. Thank you, James, for coming on. Thank you so much. Rand, are you back there, fella?
Yeah, I'm here. How y'all doing?
Hey, we're getting ready to go to a break in just about 2 minutes, but take off, do your thing until we go to the break.
I just had been listening in and out of a signal, but I know y'all was talking about the war in Ukraine and Russia and all. I just wanted to say, the Russians, they're in that thing over there. They look at that as a matter of their survival. Now, NATO, the United States, and others—they have multiple motivations for the war that's going on. One of them being the LGBT agenda and the transgender stuff that goes on in that agenda for that. But the Russians, you know, since 2014, they've been saying that, you know, they weren't going to allow NATO to have these bases and these bio labs and things right on their border, and I don't blame them. But they look at it as their survival. And, y'all, that's how we got to look at where we're at, because we've already been kind of conquered. And I think the nail was in the coffin on it when they stole the last presidential election, and now they're going to put Trump in prison. But anyway, here's the music.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Rand. Hold on to your seat, fella. We come right back after this break, guys. We go right back to Mark. Let him chime in on what Rand just said, or what the caller said.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Ukrainian President Zelensky claims Russian President Putin is very afraid after a group of mercenary soldiers threatened to march on Moscow. Ukraine's leader said Putin is probably hiding somewhere, not showing himself. Convoys of mercenary tanks and troops were reportedly less than 100 miles from Moscow when their leader apparently agreed to turn his forces around. Russian President Vladimir Putin says the mercenary Wagner Group's actions earlier were a betrayal of Russia.
Renegade actions against those fighting at the front. It's a stab in the back against our country and our nation.
Putin gave a video address today and talked about the Russian Revolution of 1917 when Russians went against Russians. Vice President Kamala Harris, speaking at a rally in Charlotte on the anniversary of the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade ruling, criticized the court for stripping away a fundamental right.
All of us are now called upon to advance the promise of freedom, including the freedom of every woman to make decisions about her own body.
Harris emphasized the decision's significance as it ended women's constitutional access to abortions after 5 decades. GOP presidential candidate Chris Christie was not a fan favorite during a speech at the Faith and Freedom Coalition in Washington, D.C., when he criticized former President Trump.
And that is not leadership, everybody. That is a failure of leadership. And you can boo all you want.
That's when the pro-Trump crowd turned on Christie. An Iowa restaurant has been hit with 5 health code violations after 51 wedding guests got sick during a catered event. The bride said many of her guests were sick for 48 hours, so she called the health department. A health inspector investigated the fireside grill and found raw meat was kept at an improper temperature. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure-ground burgers are made from single cuts of real, aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order, plus free shipping. You'll get 4 of each Pure Ground Burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
Power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I wish y'all could hear what we have, but what goes on during the breaks. You know, we have people calling in and tell us how wonderful the Constitution is. Some people, Rich thinks the Constitution is a bag of lies. But I was telling this to Mark. Here's my idea. Constitution. I think and I think I can prove this. It's not the problem of the Constitution. It's not the problem of the Declaration of Independence or the Federalist Papers or Anti-Federalist Papers. The reason we have been conquered is not because of any of that stuff. It's because of the ignorance and the stupidity and the mainly the cowardice of we the people in the United States and we the people in other white nations of the country, but specifically here in the United States of America, and this kind is in the South, is because of stupidity. I read you said again, stupidity. We have called the Constitution, whatever you want, it's implanted. God Almighty put the spirit, he put the knowledge of God into the heart of every man. There, if you read Romans in sacred scripture says that no man, there is no excuse for man not to know there's a God. I'm kind of paraphrasing it, but the knowledge of God is in there. And it says something like this, paraphrasing. Look at the waves in the great ocean. Look at the birds in the sky. Look at the stars. Look at the mountains. Look at the volcanoes erupting. Look at the nature. But people aren't supposed to worship nature.
And that's what happened in Romans. People started, instead of worshiping the creator, they worshiped the creation. But the power and the knowledge of Almighty God and what's right and wrong and what's righteous is in the heart of every man. So you can't blame it on the evil Constitution or the evil Anti-Federalist Papers or evil whatever it has. The blame lies right here with Eddie Miller and all the rest of us gutless, stupid, ignorant, coward bastards that have let this get out of hand. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said the same thing, Mark, and ran. I'll probably get off of this. He said when anybody comes to the Western power, to the Western countries years ago, he said the thing that was most strikingly stood out for him was the cowardice and the effeminacy of the white people in these Western nations. Rand, you've been having to kind of say, what, take off on that, Rand.
Well, I agree. It's been a long, slow march to communism. I mean, it's been a subtle indoctrination, and that's why, like Mark says, people get all teary-eyed and shook up over that striped Yankee flag, and not many, and not to pat ourselves on the back, but not many can see around that. And like Mark said, it just befuddles me to think about why people can't get it, you know. So it's a lot to undo. I heard a fellow say that years ago, and it's so true. It's so much to try to undo, but we have to try. We have to keep pushing forward. But just to mention, to go back to the Russian thing, and I don't mean to be off topic, but I think that was part of the outline for the show.
It's a huge part of the show. Huge part.
Yeah, because just last week, I think it was a congressman in Texas proposed to send long-range missiles to Ukraine. Well, Russia's already said if y'all shoot them over here, we're gonna retaliate. We're gonna hit your decision-making centers if y'all do this. And it just looks to me, y'all talked a lot about the war of northern aggression and comparing it with World War II and the German people and so forth and so on. It seems to me that all of these countries, NATO, the United States, Israel behind the Jews, we know is behind it, the Jew puppet that they got set up over there as president of Ukraine. It just seems to me that they want to push the Russians into the same thing that it looked like that they pushed Hitler into in World War II. They want them to do something. It's insanity. It's insanity because these Russians, like I said when I come on, they look at it as survival. Now, the other people, they have different motives for this war. And the main thing is because Russia won't come around to the new global order way of thinking. And I commend them for it. And who knows? Who knows what may come out of this? Maybe somewhere down the line, the Russians will come and help liberate Alabama. You know, I'd be all for that. You know, if they'd be willing to come in here and help Alabama gain their independence, to me, that would be a blessing. And I'm not naive enough to know, and I don't claim to be the smartest fellow in the country or nothing like that, but I'm not naive enough to know that, you know, I know the Russians aren't perfect, but I believe in this situation over there and what they're being pushed in and the way the media has portrayed this thing and so many people that I know when I speak to on the street and mention about when I say, hey, the Russians aren't the bad guy in this. You get that old eyebrow lifted, you know, and then they kind of, you know, they want to get on to something else. They probably saying to themselves, "Well, hell, Rand, you crazy," you know. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there, mostly about the Russians, but
We know more.
You know, Rand.
You know, Mark, I was going to say, Rand said that the Russians were looking at this like this their survival. We better damn well be looking at it like faster survival, too, because atomic fallout, nuclear, thermonuclear war is going to take us all out. Plus, Mark, I think you'll agree, and I'm going to get off, I'm going to ask you, don't you think you know, you mentioned, you talked about the difference between a nation and a state and a government. You know, don't you think, basically, I agree wholeheartedly with that. We got white Russians. You can't tell the difference between white Irishman and German in the South. You mentioned you and I both share we have some German blood. But, you know, the Jews, the sons of their father, the devil, I keep going back to St. John 8:44. They want to exterminate all white people on the face of the earth. So don't you think, Mark, well, and I don't want to be like a rhetorical question or put words in your mouth, but we had damn well better see these Russians as our allies. We better realize that this war, it's a survival. It's our survival, too, to stopping this damn war. Go ahead, Mark. Take off with that, brother. Anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Eddie. And you know, Rand hit on something, and I touched on it earlier, too. The reason why people raise their eyebrows when you say something that's not out of the mainstream media or that kind of thing is, it gets back to what I said earlier. We're fed a steady diet of lies. And so it's very difficult for the average person who is trying to work and make a living to find the time and the energy to do independent research and try to figure out what's really going on. And so they believe, you know, it goes along with the rules of what people, human nature and what people believe. They believe what they hear first, what they perceive as coming from a reliable source, and what's repeated most often. And the powers that be, you know, that control the U.S. empire and the communication, you know, the entertainment and the news media, they understand that. And so that's the reason why they're believed by the average person more than they should be. And so, again, like I said before, you know, seek the truth and the truth will set you free. But of course, once you find the truth, you've got to be willing to act upon it. You've got to be willing to throw aside all the lies that you've been fed. You've got to be able to get past that momentary sting of having been made a fool of your whole life by these lies and be able to reject them and to say, okay, well, they made a fool of me for a little while, but they're not going to make a fool out of me anymore. And that's a hard hurdle for most people to get over. Now, as far as the Russians go, you know, I've made the argument that, you know, back in the early 60s, when the former Soviet Union wanted to park a bunch of nuclear missiles 90 miles off the coast of Florida down in Cuba, everybody over here went ballistic about it, and we almost came to the brink of nuclear war over that. Well, put the shoe on the other foot, you know, with NATO, and of course NATO has a record of being aggressive, you know, in all kinds of situations for a long time. If I were the Russians, I'd be concerned about having a whole bunch of countries along my western border that were part of a U.S. Satellite operation, you know, that had missiles and stuff pointed at me. I'd be concerned about it, too. And Ukraine was basically the last straw. The NATO has already got missiles in Poland and several other countries that are along the western border of Russia. Ukraine was the last place that didn't have any. And, you know, the Russians said from the get-go, look, you know, just don't try to turn Ukraine into a part of NATO and then start putting military bases over here. You know, that's going to make us nervous. But the U.S. empire didn't care. They went ahead and did what they wanted to anyway. So,
well, we have to take our last break of the last hour. Folks, hang on. Be right back. This show has really slipped away. Be right back, folks.
Treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
In the morning. Smells like victory.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're running it. We're just about out of time. We're going to go back. Rand had some stuff he wanted to throw out there to Mark. And so go ahead, Rand, take off with it, brother.
No, I'd just like to what Mark was saying about, you know, organizing local and such as that earlier. I'd just like to add, we need to, we really need to get to know our local sheriff, and kind of get a feel on what kind of fella he is, and maybe a little bit the way he thinks, and maybe get to know him. And, because, you know, that would be very, very important, because in these little counties all around, the sheriff is, you know, they're the high man, from what I understand, they have the ultimate, authority in that county. And that there's still hope in rural Alabama counties, just as I know that they are. I think we're to the point we got to kind of forget the big cities right now and kind of live to fight another day over them or whatever. But we got to get into our rural local sheriffs and just kindly draw a line, dig a foxhole, dig a trench, so to speak, if you know what I'm trying to say, and kind of make that, hey, this is going to be our last stand in these places, and we're not going to take all of this new world order, all the stuff that comes with it, all the evil stuff that, I mean, it's just like Mark said, mind boggling when you got a so-called president that gets up and just doubles down. If he's not talking about white supremacists, he's talking about, you know, standing behind transgender children that wants to, like y'all was talking about, a boy that wants to be a girl that wants to be a boy. You know, a president says, we got you back. This son of a gun says, we got you back. I mean, and then you got representatives out in California that's telling, I can't forget, I don't have his name in front of me because I'm kind of just off the cuff with this, but he just recently said, get the hell out of California.
Yes,
they're
he did.
Fixing to pass a law that says if you got a child, if you got a boy that comes in and says he wants to be a little girl and you don't go along with him, they gonna come take your child from you. I mean, I don't know how much more insane things can get, y'all. I mean, really. I mean, anyway, I'll turn it back over to y'all.
You know, Rand, I still don't think we've seen the bottom of it yet.
No, we haven't.
But you're of the depravity and whatnot. I think we've still got even worse to come. You know, to get back to your getting in good with our sheriff and whatnot. You know, this is an idea that I've floated and an argument that I've made is that, you know, if you can organize a group of people at the local level to form a local militia.
Yes.
You know, then you can approach the county sheriff and say, hey, look, we've got a group of guys who have their own weapons and accoutrements and whatnot, and we're well trained, and we would like to put ourselves at your disposal for you to deputize us when and if you need us, you know, and then that way you have legitimacy.
Yes.
In the eyes of the people around the county, because now you're operating under the auspices of the county sheriff.
Bingo.
You're a regular law enforcement officer now.
Yes. You know,
and
what, Mark?
That would be a good start toward reconstituting our state militias, is to offer those kind of things, you know, form local groups of guys who can do these things. Work with our local sheriff and get them to say that, when the circumstances call for it, I'll deputize you guys and you'll be under my command. And then that can work its way up the chain of command until you can get it popular with the entire state. And now you've got a state militia. The governor, all they really have to do is just say, okay, now all these different groups under all these county sheriffs are officially the state militia of Alabama, and if I need y'all, I'll call you into service too, you know, and the problem is solved. It doesn't even necessarily have to be something that's funded by the state. You know, most of us would be more than willing to provide our own stuff in order to put groups like this to help our local communities to either keep law and order or to resist tyranny from the outside.
True. You know what, Mark? What you've described, what y'all just talked about, in my opinion, is the purest sense of what the founders we're talking about a so-called constitutional militia. I mean, you could not get more legally, more right, more godly, more you got legal and lawful. That would be the most. I couldn't think of a more lawful militia than to have a sheriff. And this, listen, I think this is a job, should be a main job of the League of the South. We should have our league members all over the South, wherever they are, to try to get candidates in for sheriff. This is a solution. Blood River Radio, we're about solutions. To get candidates for sheriff in there. Joe Arpaio in Arizona, to my understanding, he came as close to doing that as anybody. He had a posse. You know, what's the difference between a posse and militia? Just the word, as far as my opinion. And, you know, so you know, he had like 3,000. He had a posse, 3,000 member posse. That is a militia. That's right, guys. That's what we need to do. That's our solution, guys. I'm going to shut up. What do you think about us getting the League of the South? One of our main points of concentration to be trying to get sheriffs in. I get our own people in. League of the South guys that are sheriffs appointing posse members. Back to you, Mark.
And even if we, in situations where we couldn't get an honest to goodness bona fide league member elected as a sheriff, at least make the effort to try to recruit the sheriff that is in office to sit down and make the argument to him for these kind of things, and at least bring him over to our way of thinking, if you will, if nothing else. The effort the effort has to be made.
Yes. Go ahead, Rand.
I got a question. I want to just play devil's advocate because I think everybody on here, probably most of the listeners, know how I feel about it. Can we do that even at a local level without involving certain Negroes?
Depends on willpower.
Well, that's a good question, and you know, in some places it might be difficult to do that. You know, up here where I live, Rand.
Now go ahead. I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
I was, you know, up here where I live, it wouldn't be a problem because the several counties in the area where I live, none of them have a white population under 90%.
But
down where you live, Rand, it might be tougher. You know, and especially if it's a group of white guys who go to the local sheriff and say, hey, you know, we'd like to be your posse or your militia or whatever you wanted to call it. that you would have some of the more radical black types who would start raising eyebrows and saying, oh, yeah, okay, we're getting a new version of the Ku Klux Klan going here or something like that. So,
damn right.
I'm not saying that there won't be hurdles to have to get over, you know, but the effort still has to be made. And at the end of the day, it benefits them too, you know, because the evidence is already all around you. Eddie lives in Memphis. Birmingham's just south of me. Rand, you're close to Montgomery. They're killing and robbing from each other every day as it is.
Yes, they are.
Every day and every day. Absolutely. Memphis, they say, is in the top 15 most dangerous places on the planet.
Most dangerous in the United States. Most dangerous city in the United States came out the other day.
Is a more corrupt, evil, wicked government country, ever what you want to call it, on the entire planet, more evil or wicked than what we have here in our own country and what the so-called United States of America? Is they want evil anywhere any more wicked and evil?
It would be difficult to argue that there was one more wicked and evil than the one we suffer under right now, Ryan, in my opinion.
Caligula, but that'd be about it.
If you want to reach back into antiquity,
3,000 years.
As far as contemporary examples go, you'd have to look really hard to find one that's worse than the one we've got now. And, you know, to get back to what Rand touched on, something that I've argued many times before too about.
Go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead.
About the when we finally warm enough people up to declare Southern independence again, is that you know, the U.S. Is the most hated regime on the face of the globe, and I think if enough states finally had enough of it and declared their independence, I've said before, would it be so far-fetched to see a headline like this: Gulf states secede, U.S. threatens invasion, Russian fleet moves into Gulf of Mexico.
God, that would be my dream. That really would. You know, the Russian fleet came in and fought against us in the first, during Lincoln's war, but maybe they could come to our aid there. What were you going to say, Rand? Hey, we're almost about to run out of time, Rand.
I was just going to say, in the term about the planet, I was just going to say, I'm talking about right now, this time, the present day, right now, I don't think there's any place on the earth any more corrupt than the United States of America.
I agree, Rand.
Have to go back to Pol Pot.
It's rotten from top to bottom.
Yes, it is.
It has no redeeming qualities left whatsoever. You know, as I've said several times here in the last couple of years, you know, not only have they finally taken off the mask, they've taken off the gloves too. They don't even try to hide their debauchery and their evil anymore. It's right out there on parade every day. And how people who claim to love God and want to have an organized civil society under some semblance of justice and the rule of law, how they can continue to keep giving their allegiance and their support to this evil, rotten U.S. empire just hurts my heart. I cannot fathom why there are still people who are willing to do it.
True. You know what, guys, before we run out of time, we're almost completely out of time. I want to thank both of you guys for coming in and bailing me out. You know, we had all four co-hosts were out until Rand called in at the end, and we had two guests to no call, no show. So I think we put together a great show. Thanks to you, Mark. Thanks to you, Rand. But thank you so much, Mark. You carried on the show for 2 hours, brother. Thank both of you guys. Thank you, Lizzie, for doing a great job. And thank you, Patrick and James, for calling in. And thank you, Blood River Radio family. We'll see y'all same time, same place. Be the July the 1st. And the week after that, we'll be in South Carolina celebrating Blood River Radio's 5th anniversary. Well, good night, everybody. Good night, Lizzie.